chapter 16 this morning, Proverbs chapter 16. I'm in the middle of our topical series. I try to have an Old Testament book, New Testament book, and occasionally a topical series going. So right now I have all three going on. And our Old Testament book is Exodus. We'll be back in that tonight. You do not want to miss the message tonight. We're proceeding with the Ten Commandments. We're traveling through that book together. We'll get to commandment number 3 only tonight. That's all we'll get to. And the Lord has shown me some things in that command. And I'm looking forward even to the night service. Our topical series is we are smashing Satan's strongholds. That's what we're doing. And every person here deals with strongholds. And you may not be dealing with the same stronghold I deal with, but I guarantee you that you have a stronghold that you deal with. And that what we're doing is we're trying to take Sunday mornings, as long as the Lord leads in this, and bring out a different stronghold and what it is, how it works, how to live in victory over it. And today we've come to another stronghold that maybe a lot of people don't even realize they have. And some people even thank God they don't have it, which means they do have it. It's called the stronghold of pride. We find this in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18. By the way, there's a lot of troubles and trials and tribulations. A lot of people going through things. A lot of people here hurting today. I don't mind saying it, I'm hurting. But I'm glad I am going to a place where that stuff is no longer allowed. I'm glad I'm heaven bound with the pedal to the metal. I'm glad that all these trials, all these troubles, sickness, pain, suffering, biopsies, all this stuff, it's not going to be allowed inside the gate of heaven. And I'm glad I'm going that direction. Good to see Brother Cash back there. I saw him waving his hand right there, Brother Cash. God bless you, sir. What a dear man of God. Balls like a baby. Of course, he's looking at me. I don't know if that has a problem with you, you know, if why he's crying or not. But anyway, I cry at myself sometimes and I look in the mirror, I guess. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I preach to you this morning on the stronghold of pride. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done. Speak to our hearts. I pray that you'll bless the hurting people here today. And those who are not hurting, help them to shout the victory and give you the praise. And those who are hurting, help us to praise in the midst of pain. May the will of God be done. Jesus' name. Amen. I cry because the Lord is good. I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm crying because I feel His presence. And I give Him glory today. E.M. Bounds wrote this: today, somehow, self, not God, rules in the Holy of Holies. Self-ability in some wicked form has defamed and violated the temple which should be held sacred to God. A preacher put it this way: instead of God receiving the glory for our lives, we seek praise and glory for ourselves. And may I say to you today that pride in the life of any person is poisonous. And I remind you that it does not take a lot of poison to take somebody down. Matter of fact, poison is a substance causing illness or death when eaten, drunk, or absorbed even in relatively small quantities. It's anything that's harmful or destructive to happiness or welfare. And may I say to you that it doesn't take a lot of pride to wreck and ruin your life for Jesus Christ. For instance, a minimum lethal dose of a particular poison is 0.00003 micrograms per kilogram of body weight. In other words, if you take just that much of that lethal dose right there, that's equivalent of a flea derailing a 100-mile freight train in comparison. It doesn't take a lot. And today what I want to do is I want to put the stronghold of pride under a spiritual microscope, and I want us to look at it and analyze it. And by the end of this message, you want to say, man, I don't want that stuff. And may I say this to you? Every single person deals with this. Somebody says, I don't deal with that. But you just proved my point. You're dealing with it. Everybody deals with pride. Because can I say that pride is simply when you want what you want instead of what God wants? May I tell you that pride is trying to dethrone God and you sit on the throne of your own heart? And may I say that we're all sinners? And every time we sin, we are guilty of pride. Because at that moment we are saying, I'm doing what I want instead of what God wants. That is pride. Everybody has it. But we want to beg God to help us to live in victory over it. Number one, let me give you some things about pride. We're just going to do a Bible study about it this morning. Number one, pride declares. It makes a declaration. Pride is inordinate self-esteem and an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often in contempt of other people. A person who has pride in reality is declaring. Here's the declaration. Pride declares. What's it declare? He or she is declaring that they are self-sufficient. In other words, this word sufficient means as much as needed. Enough. Adequate. In other words, pride is somebody saying that I don't need anything. I need nobody. I am enough. And may I say this to you this morning, listen to me now, may I say this to you this morning, that any time we go against God's will for our life, we are saying, God, I am more important than you. That's exactly what we're saying. And I'm telling you that this is what pride does. It declares. In Isaiah chapter 10, verses 5 through 19, if you're taking notes, it's verses 5 to 19. I'm just going to read verse 15. Listen to this. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it, as if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood? In other words, it's saying, hey, should the axe rise up and boast itself against the person who swings it? Hey, should things that without the person's hands, they're useless, should it raise up itself against those people? What is God saying? God's saying, without me, you are nothing. He's saying, you're nothing more than an axe that left to itself. It can't raise itself. It can't chop wood alone. It needs an outside source of strength. And may I say to you this morning that the Word of God plainly teaches, without me, ye can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. But pride says just the opposite. You've heard the old saying that what is the middle letter of pride, and it's the letter I. A preacher that I have respect for says it is sinister and slides into our lives by whispering thoughts of arrogance, conceit, and self-importance. You know, many people live this way. A prideful person is declaring to God and everybody else, I can make it on my own. No wonder God hates it. Amen, friends. One preacher said this, no one is self-sufficient. One man put it this way, George Gordon Liddy, Watergate conspirator recently, not recently because it's been years ago, this is an old thing, but when this was written, it was recently released from prison. This statement, and I quote, I have found within myself all I need and all I ever shall need. I am a man of great faith, but my faith is in George Gordon Liddy. I have never failed me. Now that guy's just delirious. I mean, let's just be honest. He's delusional. But do you realize that every time we go our own way, that's exactly what we're saying? See, you know what people are good about? They're good about thinking, well, I can take it easy. He's not preaching to me today, thank God. Boy, I hope such and such is hearing this. He needs a good dose of this message. What's that mean? It means that People like that are guilty of what I'm preaching of. Pride declares just the opposite of the verse, you can do nothing without me. Pride declares that you don't need God. You don't need anybody else. Number one, it declares. Number two, it deceives. Anybody who's filled with pride doesn't understand who they really are. Pride deceives a person into thinking he's really something when he is only dust. The Bible says that this body shall return to the dust from where it came. And I'm telling you that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But the pride deceives people into thinking that they are really better than they are. A rich man once invited many honored guests for a feast. His own chair was richly decorated. In other words, when these guests came into the banquet room or whatever room they were using, it was obvious that that is the rich man's chair. He had it decorated and so on. And it was placed at one end of the long table. While he was away, each guest seated himself according to his own esteem of his position in sight of the master. In other words, when they came in, according to wherever his seat was, the one who thought he was better than somebody else or that his master thought more of him than somebody else would get as close to the seat as he could. Make sense? Then the master came in and kindly went to his chair and took it all the way down to the other end. You realize that's how God treats those with pride? You think you're a big shot. I think I'm a big shot at times. We think we're more than we really are. And God is going to bring us down to size. By the way, God knows how to humble you, friends. And may I say this to you? I think maybe all of us have been humbled by God at some time in our life. I don't like it when God humbles me. Because He knows things about me that nobody on planet Earth does. And He knows exactly what it takes to get my attention. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proverbs 25:14, whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. In other words, they're giving promise of something that it's never going to bring. The Word of God says in Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. A young man who had just received his college degree rushed out and said, here I am, world, I have my B.A. The world said, sit down, son, and I'll teach you the rest of the alphabet. Amen. Jeremiah 49:16 says, thy terribleness hath deceived thee. And the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. That is powerful. Obadiah 1:3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Pride gives an inaccurate picture of who we really are. It deceives a person into thinking he's really something when he's actually nothing. We all must be on the alert for pride. One man put it this way, and boy, this is true. Pride is so subtle that if we're not careful, we'll be proud of our humility. When this happens, our goodness becomes badness. Our virtues become vices. We can easily become like the Sunday school teacher who, having told the story of the Pharisee and the publican, said, children, let's bow our heads and thank God that we're not like the Pharisees. Keep in your mind, when people in the Bible saw God, the deceiving pride was nowhere to be found. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he said, woe is me, for I am undone. When Job saw God, he said, wherefore I abhor myself. The Word of God says, when Paul saw the Lord, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Pride deceives people. Pride declares self-sufficiency, but pride deceives people into thinking that we don't need God. And that's simply not true. Let me give you a third thing that pride does. Pride disgusts. It disgusts. It's disgusting. This word disgust means it's distasteful. It means it's loathing. It's repugnant. There's a strong dislike. You know, there's nothing any more disgusting than a prideful person. You ever seen somebody that it's obvious that they think they're the big daddy on campus? Now, there are a lot of people who struggle with pride. All of us struggle with pride, but a lot of times it's inner pride. Nobody else knows about it. We think too highly of ourselves. But there are occasionally people, all you got to do is just turn the TV on and watch an NBA basketball game. All you got to do is watch an NFL football game or something like that, and somebody goes down and dribbles and makes a shot, a ball with air in it, and makes it through the... They go down... Disgusting. It's disgusting. Don't get me tickled now, friends. Pride, get this. Pride is the only disease that makes everybody sick but the one who has it. That's a deep statement, really, when you think about it. Probably not mine, but it's a deep statement, you know what I mean? Pride not only disgusts other people, though. Here's where I'm going with this. Pride disgusts God. He hates it. The Word of God says in Psalm 101:5, "Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer," God said. You know what that word suffer means? It means I'm not going to endure a person like that. I'm not going to put up with a person like that. That's what, listen to me, friends. When God says I'm not going to put up with a person like that, He will not put up with a person like that. He hates pride. He hates it. And see, one reason He does is because He knows who we really are. And He knows that without Him, we're not even breathing. I mean, He says, I've got the very air of your body, the very breath of your being is in my hands. And when somebody arrogant, pride, I'm going to do it my own thing, whether it's internally or externally, whether everybody sees it or nobody sees it, God says, I will not put up with it. Let's read on. Psalm 138, verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off. You know what God's saying? He says, I will not put up with it, and I cannot stand to be around them. He's going to know you afar off. He may know you, but He's going to keep a distance. Can I say something to you? I don't want God at an arm's distance from me. I don't want God saying, He's one of mine, I know Him, but I'm going to have to know Him afar off right here. I might stay away from Him for a little while. He lives in me. I'm talking about His power. You understand what I'm saying here. I want God to be as close to me as He wants to be. And I'm telling you that when I think too highly of myself, I'm telling God, get away from me. Serious, friends. Proverbs 6, 16 and 18, listen to this. These six things doth the Lord hate. You know what the word hate here? It means oppose Himself against. Preacher, you played a lot of football. And by the way, I still tell people, you're 81 years old, and I still would not mess with you. I can outrun you, I think. But I would not get in a wrestling ring with you, I guarantee it. Of course, I am pretty small, you know, so I might be able to run between your legs, and you know what I'm saying? I don't know. This is getting out of hand. Right. He's retired, but that's a retired bear sitting there is what I'm trying to say. No doubt when preacher got down and looked in front of him, they were at that time opposing one another. They were going to do battle. And I guarantee you that there were people that he didn't mind doing battle with, but there were others that were a little bit more intimidating. Correct? Can I use the football illustration here? God says, if you're proud, I'm going to line up in your face. And I'm going to get down, and I'm going to oppose you. Pretty quiet in here. God hates it. It says, these things that the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination to Him. You know what the word abomination means? It basically means it makes Him sick. Excuse me now, but it makes Him want to upchuck. I can't stomach it. And the first thing he mentioned in that list is a proud look. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. And that word abomination literally means something disgusting to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward heart do I hate. James 4:6, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So number three, pride disgust. Number four, pride destroys. This word destroy here means to break into pieces. It means to make it useless. It means to ruin. It means to spoil, to put an end to something, to do away with it, to make it void, to counteract. One preacher said this way, pride can certainly keep us from enjoying His blessings and His goodness. Pride will do all of these things that summarizes what the word destroy means. It will break you in pieces. It will make something useless. It'll ruin things. It'll spoil things. It'll put good things to an end. It'll do away with some things. A preacher said, pride always precedes a fall. God will not use you the way He wants to if you're filled with pride. A preacher said this, pride can and does explode God's plan for our lives. Pride will destroy your life. Job 26 verse 12 says this, by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his understanding he smiteth through the proud. You know what those words smite, that word smiteth there means? It means he wounds them, he destroys them, he crushes them, he smashes them, or he violently plunges them. In other words, if you're proud, look at me. If you plunge something, that means you're submerging it. You're going to drop it. The Bible says if you're proud, the Word of God is saying right here, if you're proud, the Word of God is saying that what He does to the proud is He takes the proud and He wounds them, He destroys them, He crushes it, He smashes it, and He takes it and He violently plunges it. He hates it. He can't stand it. Psalm 12, verse 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Pride destroys lives. Pride destroys marriages. Pride destroys families, destroys testimonies. There's a story told here that it was the wife's job to keep the house in order. In this particular couple here, including provision of towels and paper products and soap in the bathroom. One day she forgot to replace the soap, an oversight that her husband mentioned in an exaggerated way. He said, and I quote, I've been bathing for almost a week without any soap. Now if I was her, I think I'd have a few good comebacks right there, you know what I mean? But she vigorously denied it, although it turned out that she had indeed forgotten. And even though he had pride, no doubt about it, by responding that way, her pride was also at stake and she wouldn't back down. And for the next 7 months, they slept in separate rooms and ate in silence. Because she forgot a bar of soap. He responded, no doubt, the way he shouldn't have. But she refused to admit it. That has pride all over it. And I'm telling you, it destroys. It destroys. There's a memoir of a truly dysfunctional family. And I'm telling this story right here. This couple remained married, but they didn't speak to each other for 40 years. Now, that doesn't mean that they never spoke. I guess that means it's like, you know, good conversation. You understand what I'm saying to you? They were enemies. They stayed married, but they didn't speak to each other for 40 years after a fight that they had over how much money she spent on sugar. Now, I'm reading this story right here. This is not preacher talk, okay? It's true, okay? It says right here, one day he took out a lumber saw and sawed their house exactly in half. He nailed up planks to cover the two sides and moved one of the halves behind some pine trees on the same acre of ground, and there the two husband and wife lived out the rest of their days in separate half houses. And it all started over spending too much money over sugar. Can I say this to you? We chuckle at that here this morning, but it's really not funny. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you chuckle, I know. Do you realize that there are marriages here today, and only the Lord knows, but there are marriages here today that if somebody would simply take the other one by the hand and say, "I am sorry," that it would correct the problem? That doesn't mean there's no more work to be done. There may be a lot of work to be done. You know what the devil says? You're right. Stand your ground. Don't back down. Who's the ruler of your home? Who rules the roost in your place? And I'm going to say this, if you demand that with a sorry attitude, your marriage is going to suffer, my friend. God not only wants you to do the right thing, but He wants you to do it in the right spirit. And I'm telling you, pride destroys things. Pride destroys things. Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Proverbs 16:18, our verse that I had you turn to, pride goeth before what? Destruction. Proverbs 17:19, he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. That means if you're trying to lift yourself up, you are actually pursuing destruction. You're going after destruction. That's what he's saying. Proverbs 18, verse 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Isaiah 13, 11, and I will punish the wicked, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Anybody who travels to Edinburgh, Scotland, This is an old statement here. But anybody who travels back in Edinburgh, Scotland, when this was written, will find the Edinburgh Castle a tower of seeming insurmountability, great strength. The truth is that that castle was once captured. The fortress obviously had an obvious weak spot, which they guarded it profusely. And by the way, you need to guard your weaknesses. But they guarded their weakness. But because another spot was apparently protected by its steepness and nobody should be able to penetrate by that way, there were no guards placed there. And at an opportune time, an attacking army sent a small band up that unguarded slope and surprised the garrison into surrender. And the point here is this, where the castle was strong, there is where it was weak. Because they just took for granted, nothing will happen to us there. So they thought, look at that. And pride swelled up, and that's exactly what took them down. 2 Chronicles 26:16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Ezekiel 16:49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. What was the iniquity of Sodom? You think about Sodom today. You think about it's homosexuality. Correct? You think about Sodom and Gomorrah. What, honestly, what do you think about? When you hear Sodom and Gomorrah, what do you think about? Here's what God's Word said. Here's the sin of Sodom, comma, pride. That's what it says. You know why God rained fire and brimstone on Sodom? Yes, it was because of their sodomy. Yes, we understand all of that. But God said, let me narrow it all down in one word. Here's what they were guilty of. They were proud. And I destroyed it. Matthew 23:12, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. There's a story here given in a certain pond on one of the farms in the east. There were two ducks and a frog. They were neighbors, but the best of friends, and all day long they used to play together. But as the hot summer days came, the pond began to dry up, and soon there was so little bit of water that they all realized that they would have to move. The ducks could easily fly to another place, but what about their friend the frog? What's he going to do? Finally, it was decided that they would put a stick in the bill of each duck, and then the frog would hang onto the stick in the middle with his mouth, and they would fly him to another pond. So they did this. And as they were flying, a farmer out in the field looked up and saw him and said, "Well, isn't that a clever idea? I wonder who thought of it." And you guessed it. The frog opened his mouth and said, "I did." His pride got the best of him. He just couldn't help himself. And his pride destroyed him. Now, did that really happen? I don't think so, friends. But that is a story to get the point across. Let me give you a final thing here about pride. Pride is poisonous, no question. And the reason it is because it declares you don't need God. It deceives you into thinking that you are something that you're not. And when I say you, I'm talking to all of us. It disgusts other people, but more importantly, it disgusts God. It destroys people. It destroys their lives. Some people's marriages are destroyed because of it. Families, testimonies. But finally, pride damns people. It damns people. If I were to ask, what are the top three reasons why people do not trust Christ as their Savior? Somewhere on every list should be the name and the word pride. How many people are in hell right now because they were too proud to say yes to Jesus? Oh, don't let pride damn your soul. Stuff like this, when they're convicted in their heart and they know, I need to do something about it, what will people think? That's not humility, that's pride. What will people say? I don't really need God. Not yet. Not now. Pride will condemn a soul to an eternity without God. Get this now. Psalm 119:21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed. Malachi 4:1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave neither root nor branch. 1 Timothy 3:6. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Friends, pride will send your soul to hell. Luke 18:9-14 teaches all about this. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Pride will condemn your soul to hell. Don't let it stand between you and Jesus. Job 22:29, and he shall save the humble person. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. I believe what God asked Pharaoh in Exodus 10:3 is what he's still asking many today. After several of the plagues, God asked Pharaoh this in Exodus 10:3, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? And let me conclude this message, okay? Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Are you listening? There's absolutely nothing good that pride does for a person. Nothing. One preacher put it this way, pride causes us to emphasize self more than God. He went on to say, as long as pride holds a prominent place in your heart, Christ is not Lord. Pride declares, deceives, disgusts, destroys, and damns. However, on the other hand, James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Let me ask you a question. Is it really worth losing the Lord simply to hang on to your pride? Get rid of it today. Micah 6:8 says, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? If you're here this morning and you know you need to make a decision for God, you'll do one of two things. Number one, you'll either humble yourself and obey, or you'll keep your pride and have God as your enemy. Keep in mind, if you choose your pride, you're putting yourself and those around you at risk. In the summer of 1986, two ships collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. Hundreds of passengers died as they were hurled into the icy waters below. News of the disaster was further darkened when an investigation revealed the cause of the accident. It wasn't a technology problem like radar malfunction or even thick fog. It was none of that. The cause was human stubbornness. Each captain was aware of the other ship's presence nearby, and both could have steered clear, but according to news reports now, neither captain wanted to give way to the other, and each was too proud to yield first. And by the time they came to their senses, it was too late. And they not only took themselves down, they took the innocent lives on board down with them. I'm simply trying to say to you, friends, pride's not worth it. I'm just about done. A U.S. Air Force transport plane with its captain and five crew members was flying over Alaska in the mid-50s when they entered an unusually fierce snowstorm. The navigator contacted an airbase only to be told that he had veered several hundred miles off course. Correct coordinates were given to the navigator, who continued to insist that his own calculations could not be that far off. Soon the plane ran low on fuel. The six men decided to abandon the plane, parachute to safety, but because of the minus 70 degree Fahrenheit temperature and winds that gusted to 50 miles an hour, they were all frozen within minutes of hitting the ground. A friend of mine was part of the rescue team that discovered this man telling this story and retrieved the bodies 3 days later. And as a result of the navigator's pride, five other people went to their deaths. If God has pointed out something to you, friends, this is all I'm trying to say. If God has pointed out something to you, the cause of that is pride. In other words, if He's saying, hey, what you're thinking of, that's pride causing that. I'm the answer. Just humble yourself before me. If you refuse and go on in your pride, it's only a matter of time. God's going to take you down. And He'll take down those that are with you if you're not careful. Can I tell you one more story? Then I'm coming down for a landing. A man said, Polly, this bull has killed me. So said one of Spain's most brilliant matadors before his last consciousness and death. He was 21 years old. He'd been enjoying a spectacular career. However, in this 1958 bullfight, Jose made a tragic mistake. He thrust his sword a final time into a bleeding, delirious bull. which then had collapsed. And considering the struggle finished, Jose turned to the crowd. He turned away from the bull and turned to the crowd to acknowledge his applause. But he didn't realize that that bull was not yet dead. It rose and lunged at the unsuspecting matador, and its horn pierced his back and punctured his heart. And the last words he said was, "Paulie, this bull has killed me." Can I close this message by saying this? Just when you think you finished off pride, and just when you turn to accept the congratulations of the crowd, pride will reach up and stab you in the back. We should never consider, get this now, we should never consider pride dead until we are. Amen? And may the Lord give us victory over pride. You know what I'm trusting the Lord to do here? To take a message like this, put a home back together that nobody even knew was falling apart. Put a marriage back together that nobody here knew was falling apart. Wouldn't it be great for husbands and wives, children with parents, parents with children, bosses and employees, employees with bosses, co-workers with co-workers? Wouldn't it be great for somebody to say, you know, God has shown me today that I'm part of the problem in this. I've got a heart of pride. And go to God first and confess it. Humble yourself before Him. And then get up and go to that person and say, "I want to tell you, I'm sorry. God has shown me that I've had too much pride." Are you listening to me? This can even rear up in somebody who's not at fault. Take a marriage. Somebody does something wrong. Do you realize that the person who is in the right, they didn't do the wrong, they're in the right. If they're not careful, pride will well up in them, and they will hold it against them for the rest of their life. God wants us to humble ourselves. Why don't you do it now? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, bless this time, I pray. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to realize that pride is nothing, I mean nothing, to fool around with. You hate it. You can't stand it. It makes you sick. You oppose it. You reject it. You know it afar off. God, take these stammering words of this country preacher and penetrate the hearts of people. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're going to begin to play through softly just as soon as they get prepared there. I want to start where God would have me start, and that is this. Do you know for sure that heaven is your home? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or has pride crept in and you've been thinking, what will they think, or what will he think, what will they say? Why don't you come, let us take a Bible. Humble yourself before God. God will lift you up. God will save your soul. God will change your life. Or maybe the Lord is speaking to you today because in your heart, maybe never with your actions, but in your own heart and mind, God has revealed to you, you've got pride and it needs to come out. Can I say this to you? Everybody can say that at times. Everybody. You're not alone. Let's lay our heart of pride on the altar and ask God to truly give us a spirit of humility. You know what true humility is? Are you listening? You know what true humility is? True humility is confidence in God, not self. Matter of fact, if you have your head bowed, just look up at me just a moment. Pride is not this. I'm terrible. take dust and ashes and throw it up in the air and say, woe is me, I'm just awful, I'm the worst thing that's ever breathed God's air. You realize that's a form of pride? That's not humility. You know what humility is? David, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to take your head off you, Goliath. I'm going to destroy all those Philistines back there behind you because you come to me with a sword and a spear and a stave. But I come to you in the name of God. And this battle is the Lord's. That's humility. It's trusting God and realizing without you, I can't. But with you, I can. You got it? Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. As Brother Mike begins to sing, if God is speaking to you about your soul, about something else, as he sings, come now, would you do that?
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsake.
I'd like to ask several ladies, some of you men, some of you couples to come. We're going to surround Jamie and Tammy Pendleton. Tammy has had a biopsy this week and has not heard any results. They've given it to the Lord, but she's awaiting to hear the results of a biopsy. And they've asked our church to pray for her. There's power in a praying church. I'd like to ask couples, men, ladies, that feel led. This will be our closing prayer. Come now, just leave your place. If God's prompting you to do this, just those who feel prompted, let's surround them right here. I'm going to ask my Moses, if you wouldn't mind. I call on him a lot. I'll keep calling on him as long as the Lord allows him to be here. I'm going to ask him to lead us in prayer. This is Tammy and Jamie Pendleton. We're praying it's not cancer, but even if it is, for the Lord to take care of it. So preacher, this will be the closing prayer and you can be dismissed.
Spirit of God, my dear, will you help her and heal her? It will be your precious.